1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now there's no part of that that you should or an ought to, or this is what you should do, or this is how you should act. This is an eternal fact. He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten. It's like saying gravity is real. And all of our attempts to try to cause love to be only increase hypocrisy. So, if you find yourself not loving, you can't learn how to love. You can only repent. And there's no exceptions to this. There are no exceptions. What?
That's killing me. I can't see you.
Well, look the other way. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Now, his commandment is singular. Remember, there are 613 laws. Those are reflected in the Ten Commandments. The ten are reflected in the three. And then they are all reflected in the one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. If you do that, you will love your neighbor as yourself. There's no learning how to love. There's no learning how to be. If this isn't manifest, then something has transpired to cause you to return to the kingdom of darkness. It never has anything to do with anyone else. Any situation, any circumstance, it has to do only with something has occurred in your life that has caused you to opt for the kingdom of darkness. It could be an idea, it could be a giving breath to something other than God. But whatever it has caused you to leave the kingdom of light and return to the kingdom of darkness. Any everybody understand this?
Yeah, you can't try and concentrate on this a particular person to figure out how can I appreciate this person more, blah blah blah. It has to do with repenting towards God, and then love is going to happen. It's going to happen towards everybody.
The predicate of this is whoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And he that is born of God loveth automatically he that is begotten of God. No negotiations. Now, this requires something because we are created to lie. We lie to ourselves. We lie to our. We lie to the situation. We don't express what we feel. We don't. There's a massive difference between lip and life. There's what's inside. There's not what's coming out. And so this is where integrity is the bottom line. You have to risk everything, all the time. Not so that you can be right, but so that you can be exhorted. Exhort one another daily while it is still called today, because pretty soon it's not going to be called today anymore. What is it called if it's not called today? Eternity. And so this is why, above all things, my brethren, I would that you prophesy. I would that you say what's there. You simply bubble forth at all times. Not so that you can be right. Prophesying isn't about being right. I mean, it's happened to me more times than I can count that this is what we've taught here since from the beginning. Above all things, I would that you say what's there. Prophesy. And so somebody does, and then somebody yells at them. And so, therefore, I'm not going to prophesy anymore. I'll show them. No, you'll rebel against God by returning to the mode of acting. Well, you don't understand, Oli. I'm just silent by nature. It's just the way I am. I'm shy. Yeah, right. While you mass murder, you're shy. It's all so simple. You never again have to try to be or try to do. You just be. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments aren't hard, aren't grievous, aren't difficult. His commandment is simple. Anybody have any response to all this?
This strikes me as it's pure seeing. If you see that Jesus is the Christ, it's not just something you believe, it transcends belief. It's perceived, that reality, and then you must see that same reality as you look at your brother. You must see Christ. You don't look at their outward sensory, fleshy stuff. You see past that into the fact that God chose to dwell in them too.
Remember, we are constructed in this particular way. That in the economy of God, the first thing that's required is that your ear be circumcised. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. How are your ears circumcised, and what does that mean? Well, it's an interesting process. It's because the process of the normal circumcision, or cutting off the filth of the flesh, as Peter said, you know, that's difficult. And so therefore you do it when you're eight days old, not like they did when they crossed the Jordan and all the adult males had to be circumcised. But that's just a type. It's a thousand times more unlikely that your ear is going to be circumcised. Because your ear has to be circumcised in total. Who is blind but my servant? Who is deaf but he that knows or sees or is perfect? So the whole idea is that nothing that you hear except the one thing, the one story, has any effect on you. The voices that you have in your head, they're meaningless. the impulses that come at you are totally, because you have either, you know, by either experience or empathy, you have come to the place where you know. Because you've heard everything, and you see that there is no there. And so, boom, and your ear is circumcised. Circumcised means it's the same as the circumcision. You want me to cut off the head of my what? Now it's the circumcision. You want me to circumcise what has been the basis of my life? Yeah, because if you can't hear, then you won't see. So they're intimately connected. If you hear the preaching of the cross, which is your death, then how can you ever again hear anything else?
Well, you're deaf to the other voices.
Yeah, there's no other voice. You only hear his voice, because his voice is only that which is not time dependent. My sheep hear my voice. They will not hear another. And if you hear another voice, it's not that, well, you shouldn't do that. No, you don't. That's not what you think about. You think about, my God, I've returned the instead of Christ to power in this temple. What you hear is what you see. What you see is what you do. What you touch, you have dominion over. What you eat is what gives you sustenance and satisfaction. What you drink is what gives you worth. And some of you are still searching for worth, because you haven't continually drank of his blood. You haven't seen the fullness of what communion is. And so you're still searching for worth. And you do that by trying to do something. And then that gives you sustenance and satisfaction, especially when it happens in your mind. That's where your food really is. And so you haven't eaten. You haven't eaten the flesh of the Son. You haven't drank of his blood, because you haven't heard, and therefore you haven't seen. Remember the one thing that we always forget when you take the Afikoman or the communion, is that it was only taken after you were fed up with everything else. Just think of the things that led up to the first taking of the third cup and the bread, the Afikoman, in the first Passover. All the plagues had hit. They'd seen the end of everything. Everything was over. Well, that didn't stop. You can't eat of the flesh of the Son, nor drink of his blood, until you are fed up with everything else.
This is,
well, it's what's typified in the what we just celebrated in the, on the 7 days of tabernacles, blood and water are poured into the altar. Then on the eighth day, wine and water are poured into the altar. On the eighth day, only wine is poured in. Now the rejoicing happened. You remember when the pouring of the water from the pool of Siloam? Because when the whole mystery of that happened, because on the eighth day they poured only wine in, is because the eighth day celebration is for the bride alone, not the human race. But all of those 7 days, by the pouring of the water and the wine into the altar, then it was the idea that I still had a chance. Do you see what I'm saying? But now on the eighth day, if we've celebrated tabernacles correctly, if we saw correctly, then everything is, you can't hear, your ears are circumcised, your heart is circumcised, everything is over. nothing can attract you any longer. Am I boring you? Do you really hear me, or am I just... And why do you let some other thing grab your attention? How can you possibly say you forget? You can only forget if something has grabbed your attention. If something has grabbed your attention, then the circumcision isn't complete. You're not totally deaf and you're not totally blind to the senses and to the voices in your head. Well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You're already there. But you have to be honest about it. You can't con yourself into believing your next idea is going to be a good one. Therefore, you can give breath to nothing on this earth. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, little children, and he that knoweth God heareth us. It's not complicated. It's simple as ABC. It's going to get worse here in a minute. Who is he that overcometh? Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. What has overcome the world? Jesus Christ is the only one that has overcome the world. Faith, therefore, must mean it isn't just believing in him. It must be total. It must be him at the exclusion of everything else.
That has to be, because it's impossible to believe what we're talking about. What we're talking about is ridiculous.
It's foolish.
You can't get to believing it through logic.
Well, that's what happens here. You sit around and instead of repenting, you try to co-opt it into your system of thought. And then if there's something that you just don't want to hear, then you just close your ears and you start thinking about what you're going to do today or something. And then, oh, I forgot. Or, you know, I mean, it's just, this isn't, as I said so many times, if there is one statement in this Bible that's optional, I'm going to throw the whole thing out. Oh, well, I want to argue with you about this or that. Well, everything. Who is Hymenaeus in Alexander? It's the one that happened to listen to something about the world that said the resurrection is past. If the resurrection is past, then Jesus can't be the Christ. He was the Christ, he's going to be someday, and now it's just me and Jesus. Well, now, you're not in the picture. But it takes a little something. I mean, you have to... You have to be willing to die as a consequence of never leaning again on your own arm of understanding. Because you can there's a thousand ways to justify it. Well, I have to go out and do something out in the world. There's no difference between world and spirit, or it's either all spirit or nothing is. Either every place is holy or nothing is. He is either Lord in every possible situation or he's not Lord at all. So if in your mind you're justifying doing something else because you're going out in the world, then your ears aren't circumcised. He isn't the Christ at that time. You are. It's either believe... You know, remember a thousand times Josanna, she'd scream and yell at somebody. You just don't believe. That's the truth. Well, what do I do about it? Well, you can't do anything about it. You have to figure out why you don't believe. And it's very easy to figure out why you don't believe. Either there's something you want or something you want to change. Oh, but I just want... whatever it is, it's the evidence you don't believe. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want anything to be different than it is. I shall not be concerned with myself in any way. The secret is never to justify in your mind the wanting something or wanting something to be different. Oh, I don't want anything to be different. I'm just concerned about... No.
The word is just. Just.
And it can be the very highest moral thing. And it's a lie. Because it doesn't have anything to do with the highest moral thing. It's the way you can keep yourself alive. Just touching anybody? Well, share it with us. Not some made up crap, just share what's there.
The thing about, I don't know how it goes, that he that worketh or something like that is the free gift is reckoned of debt or something.
That whole he that worketh, the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt.
So if what we're talking about now is something to do, then it is.
The debt.
It is hideous. It is the most onerous burden that could possibly be put on me, and the hell with you, and I'd rather have the rocks fall on me. But if it's what is, it's what is.
Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, you don't overcome the world by becoming a victor in the world. That's the heresy of Babylon. You don't overcome the world by how to do world stuff better, how to have a nice house with little picket fences around it and have a normal life. That's not overcoming the world. That's wanting to be successful in the world. So it's the opposite of overcoming the world. Overcoming the world is there is absolutely nothing. There's no condition about me that I would change. There's nothing. There's no place I'd rather be. There's nothing else I'd rather be doing at every second of my life because I'm at the top of the pyramid. It can't get any higher than this. Do any of you have any doubt that I believe that? No. My only hope, prayer, everything is that you believe it too. And that you see the stupidity of everything else. Even the concern about the most important things, your family, has to be left at the door. Because many of you spend a lifetime being concerned, justifying your consumption of self by being concerned with your family. It's not a fact that the believer takes care of his family, that therefore that's the evidence. No, that's not. You've got it backwards again. It's the fact that he that loveth God, he that believes that Jesus is the Christ, it's the automatic with no effort. But if you are working to take care of your family, then you are really working to keep yourself alive. You're traveling over sea and land to make one convert, and when he is made, you'll make him twice the child of hell that you are. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now that, again, well, I made that confession back in 1973 or something. No. It's a continuum. It can never be anything else. If Jesus is the Son of God, then he is the Christ. He is the anointing. Therefore, everything is exactly as it should be. everything is in His perfect will. I am at peace. All the other things. There's nothing that I have to give breath to. Well, you don't understand what I need to do. You don't understand my position only. Well, yes, I do. I understand it perfectly. You want to eat something other than the flesh of the Son. I have no idea what time it is. Am I over time?
You have a watch
on. Oh, I have a watch on. We're good.
We have 20 more minutes.
It's one after. And we didn't start. Yeah, because of Judy. Now, there's nothing here. This is all back again to Cain and Abel. That's the only story. Are you tilling the flesh? Are you tilling the dust to try to have an offering? What?
I've been building this altar to martial arts over the last couple of months, and in the light of the preaching,
it's crumbling.
Stupid and crumbling and uncomfortable.
We're going to kick your butt.
I know. I think that's going to happen.
I'll teach you that Chinese stuff. You don't have to worry about martial arts.
Yeah, you only need that one move.
So were you watching Legend of Drunken Master over and over and over?
Yeah,
all that. No, but it's the point of it is how easily something like that can seduce you. Oh, I got a good idea. Oh, that looks good. Oh, that's a good movie.
Yeah, that was saying that usually happens when you're ignoring need that's in front of you, so you get bored.
Yeah.
And then you think of things.
Well, you don't
catch your attention.
Again, I have not been bored since the day I became a believer. Because, you want to get rid of boredom? Just always say whatever is there.
There was that one time when you said I was boring you.
I didn't say I was bored. You were boring me.
That's what you become tired. You become bored.
No, as soon as I said it, I became unbored. You bored, Ronnie?
Huh?
You bored?
Yeah.
Okay, now the mystery is brought into pristine focus in the next verse, and we won't have time to study it, but this is He, whoever believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And it defines who that is. This is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now, there's no place in there for Gary. I didn't see. There's not. Gary isn't in there. Ronnie isn't in there. Oli isn't in there. There are three that bear record on earth. In earth. Or on earth. Either both. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. Same as three that bear record in heaven. The Word, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Now, and you've heard me say this when we study the offerings. This is the three-pronged plug. And those three that bear record in earth and in heaven have to agree in one. Not just they have to agree in you as the earthen vessel. And so the question is, what do these three mean? What does it mean that He came not by blood only, but by water and blood? And how does that relate to this? Because I promise you, if you can, in the analogy, if you see yourself as the three-pronged plug and the receptacle, or the receptacle for it, that's all it has to. You just have to plug in. But the mystery is, there is nothing about you that's in those three. And the point, again, if we continue that kind of stupid analogy, it's a modern one, I suppose. If you unplug, then everything, lights go off, all power's off, everything's gone. Doesn't matter if you've been plugged up before that for 45 years. The minute you're unplugged, then everything is wrong. But once you're plugged in, then everything's right. That is all the meaning of repentance is are you plugged in or are you unplugged?
Analogy, if ever one of those plugs or wires are crossed, all hell breaks loose.
Well, you become toast, because this is, remember where Christ said he said to his disciples said to him, we want to share in your baptism. He said, well, you will. It's a baptism of the water, of the Holy Ghost, and of fire. Well, the baptism of fire is the great protection to make sure you don't make it. It's the two cherubim with the flaming swords that are continually guarding the garden, the mystery. You can't get in there. If there's any part of you left, I'm not saying you're never going to get in there. I'm saying that. But if you're waiting to get in there until you die, then, you know, I don't want to trust that. We will continue on 1 John 5 tomorrow. Anybody have any expansions?
I was thinking about how when I leave here, it used to distress me that I would forget a few minutes later the magnificence of what I'd heard. But I don't worry about that anymore. I go, and whatever he does, he does. It's like you say, there's no difference between here and there. And I thought I could take this and make something of it out there. Yeah. But after 20 years of thinking that, he snapped out of it. And now he reveals himself as he wills.
Well, just remember one thing. That you are... If there's anything out there that requires you to lean on your own arm of understanding again, then right, that, and that requires instantaneous repentance. If anything grabs your attention, remember the scripture that says we are fed in Jerusalem, we bear his reproach outside the camp. Well, you only do that until the only thing there is for you is Jerusalem. Do you understand that? There's never anything other than the perfection of His holiness. So nothing can grab your attention. Because we, again, the capacity that we have to con ourselves is beyond belief. So we can con ourselves into justifying leaning on our of doing something other than by faith.
I'm not sure what
you mean by grabbing my attention. My attention gets diverted to whatever need that I'm involved in.
If you become the subject of your sentence for the minus the splittest second, then it has grabbed your attention.
When it's about me, that's the grabbing.
Or if there's the slightest hint of nervousness, slightest angst. Now, in you, it's critical because, again, you have a lifetime of coping. So the coping mechanism that you've developed has tended to deaden this discernment. And so you, above all people, have to be 1,000 times more careful. Harry, on the other hand, minutes are even... Kevin is a great example.
Even Kevin?
No. Kevin in this example is better than Harry. Because the instant Kevin feels put upon in any way, he just shuts down. And that's what you shut down, but you shut down and revert back to your old ways. Harry, on the other hand, Harry can't shut down. Yeah, you revert to it's almost, you think it's autopilot for you as the mechanism. But it's Harry, like if you compare Harry and Kevin, Harry, he can't stand it. He can't stand that feeling for a half second. And so Kevin shuts down, you cope, and Harry explodes. The same stimulus. Now the mystery is that we have to be so attuned to each other that you're not upset and not afraid of Harry if he explodes, and you don't let Kevin be alone when he shuts down, and you don't let you get by with it when you cope. Does that communicate?
Love and exhortation has to be.
Right, and it has to be instantaneous. Now with Harry, it's a risk to exhort because he explodes back at you. And that's what I told him the other day. I said, the danger that he's in is I'm the only one that can exhort him. Well, what happens if I die? Well, so that's why he needs to pray that he can be exhorted by the latest homeless person we took in. But we're and I'm not you're the way you are shouldn't be different than it is. It's what's necessary for you to fulfill your place in the mystery of Christ. But we each need to exhort. That's what that thing is. Exhort one another daily, what is still called today. It's the discernment of an ant. I mean, it has nothing to do with a great spiritual understanding or being able to read people's minds just to see their countenance. When you've got this extremely well-developed coping mechanism where you can be dying inside but smiling and jovial and jocular outside. And so that's why it's critical that you and, I'll get personal, that you and Judy stop the truces so that she can exhort you. Am I making sense to anybody else?
No, I remember when my first marriage was falling apart, I was able to do the same thing. Go around and just, it's certainly not helpful to me to do that.
No,
I thought it was, but
it's
saving my ass in that moment, but it wasn't.
In reality, it's death.
I was killing myself.
It's death, but not it's. It's death without resurrection. I'm tired.
I have a bit of a health situation that's starting, and it can either get better or worse, and I would prefer that it get better. It's a little.
Must be really personal.
Well, it's kind of scary, and I've had it before, and it can get better,
and that's it, or it can get worse and it can be real bad.
So. Okay. Pray for Harry.
Thank you.
Please, please, please. Don't. All of you know the emptiness of aloneness, the frightening pit of this. And again, this isn't just this, I'm going to use the word, but it's not picking on you. The coping mechanism is really about being able to exist in that state of aloneness. And that's like, that is like learning to survive in hell. Because for all of us, I don't care how, you know, Lone Ranger you may appear to be, for all of us, there's nothing worse than that desperate aloneness. And it, none of you need to be in that position. You don't need to. There's a wealth of ability not to ever have to be in that place here. You don't have to act about anything. You don't have to. Amen.
Michael Landis called me last night. Asked that we think about him.
Yeah,
he didn't call
us.
He
called
me.
Just the chat.
You know, he's the one that. It's just. He and Harry, I was really out of it, and he and Harry were at it. At my bed. And I just looked at him and talked to him about that. This is what I just said. This mind-blowing aloneness. And he started crying. And he and Harry became something then. Remember? But he's around for a reason.
I told him that. You know,
integrating
back into society.
You know,
I don't know
that
he'll
want
to do
that. No, I understand. No, I mean, this isn't about him. It's about us. It's our response. All right, take a big guy.